called Lyra, and we're looking forward to inviting her into Studio 8 next week for a couple of songs and a chat as well. And I think she's on the Late Late Show tomorrow night. Now, Colly Ennis, Zoology Assistant Research Associate, Trinity College Dublin. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
An exciting time of the year.
It is. It's my favourite time of the year. It's been a very long, long winter, so it's great to see the frogs and the bugs and the birds out and about.
So there's mad stuff happening in the gardens, just in your back, if you're looking enough to have a back garden. So what can people expect?
Well, you can start seeing like the bees starting to move around now. The big bees that you see are the queen bees now, the bumblebees especially, and they're out looking for nesting sites around the ground. They'll be looking for old disused rodent holes as a prime spot for them to go into. We've got tadpoles in our ponds at the moment. The frogs have finished their calling and they're singing and cavorting, so that's always a really good sign that spring is here and it's large. And the birds are all starting to gather material and starting to nest now.
Well, they've mated already.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of pigeons there a few weeks ago on the swing outside in the back garden.
Still, they were still they romantic.
Were, yeah.
Fair play to them.
So back to the bumblebee, because I did spot a few big bumblebees.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the nest from last year?
So the queens will emerge from last year's nest. A number of queens will be reared in that nest and then shoot off, feed up a bit, and then they'll hibernate over the winter. And then they emerge now in spring to go looking for a hole in the ground to establish their own nest, start their own colony, and then the process begins again.
Are they harmless?
Yeah, more or less.
What's more or less?
Well, you wouldn't want to stand them on your bare foot, but they're not out to get you. Nothing is out to get you.
How can we help them in their search for a new nest?
Yeah, I mean, like the simplest thing to do is leave a bit of a mess for nature in your garden. If you're lucky enough to have a garden, have section off a corner of it where you can pile up logs, bits of wood, twigs, anything you've cut off, you know, bushes and branches, keep them in the garden and keep them in a pile, put some rocks on top of it, and it compacts it down and it leaves all these little nooks and crannies and rotten wood and places that they are specifically looking for, and ground beetles are looking for, earwigs are looking for, slugs, worms, all these beautiful creatures that we need that are essentially the engineers of our biodiversity, that keep the soil aerated and keep our plants pollinated. This is the kind of places that we need to provide.
So you don't have to go full on wilding?
You can if you want to, but it's not everybody's cup of tea, and that's understandable. Now, I had a very small garden for 16 years in Talla, and I had a pretty wild garden, but I am house proud. So it was a very neat garden at the same time.
A neat wild garden.
Yes, and you can do that. You can.
Go on, explain yourself.
I'm a neat wild man, you know. So, I mean, like if you're leaving an area of grass to grow, for example, you can cut a pathway through with your lawnmower.
Yes.
So establish that you've done it on purpose as opposed to that you're just lazy.
I see now up UCD they've mowed it and then they've left about 2 or 3 metres to the hedge.
Yeah, and we've done the same in Trinity as well.
Yes, right.
Now, I'm not saying UCD were copying us, but
but
that's exactly it, and it makes it look so neat, and it established that it's being done on purpose for nature. And when it gets to full bloom during the summer, it's extraordinary looking, and it really draws in animals
and what
from
about,
all over.
Yeah, you see, there's the thing. What about bigger creatures that maybe people don't want to draw in? Like rodents?
Well, rodents are there everywhere. Rodents are within a couple of metres right here with us right now.
Oh, they're it's well documented.
They're just everywhere. Everybody knows this. So, I mean, they're around anyway. The best thing to do with rodents is to try and avoid the rodenticide, the rat poison, because that goes right up the food chain into foxes, into our birds of prey. So if you can put down traps, and if you can at all, the recommended traps that I would use would be the live traps.
Are this sort of humane traps?
Yeah, they're the ones.
How do they work?
They're basically a cage with a little button on the end that you put some paste, some food, some butter, something that the rat would like to eat, and he trips that. Cage closes, and then you take them off down to the riverbank and let them go.
Right, if you're close to a riverbank, how do you know you have rats?
Well, a lot of the time you'll see them because they get quite cheeky when they're around houses.
Right,
I've caught 4 in the last month in my house because I have bird feeders out. The rats kind of get drawn into that. But the live traps are really important, and I'll tell you why. Because one of the traps that got set, I went out in the morning, and what did I find in it? A hedgehog. Now, if that had been a spring trap, your classic mouse trap, rat trap, that hedgehog would have been seriously injured. And that's what we want to avoid.
So you had these rats in outside and
outside my house.
Yeah, yeah, and then you got the rats and you brought them. And
I brought them somewhere else and let them go.
Let them go.
Merry way.
They're somebody else's problem now.
Well, they're hopefully they're owl food or something. They've provided something for nature. But
You mentioned frog spawn at the beginning there, mm-hmm. and I'm of an age, I don't know if you are, that we used to go down to the local streams and collect frog spawn and bring it home in the jar, and then the nature table in primary school always had frog spawn as well. But that's against the law now, and I'm surprised to hear that law was introduced when?
Yeah, it's under the Wildlife Act in 1977, I think.
Right,
so
okay.
It's yeah, it's, look, it's just because if everybody was to collect a jar of frog spawn from a pond in a public park, that population will crash very, very quickly. And it's a very sensible law. It doesn't stop teachers from going out into the wild to collect them. They can do that.
They're exempt.
They can go out and collect and then just bring the frogs as they develop back into the pond.
Because those little black spots that is in the frog spawn, the jelly and all that, mm-hmm. how many of those actually make it to adult frogs?
This is the thing. You're talking about one or two that will replace mammy or daddy who laid, you know, 1,000 eggs,
wow.
you know. So frogs are hammered by everything. They're right in the middle of the food web. So they eat a lot of things, but a lot of things eat them. So that's why they
have
to. So
one in a thousand success rate.
Big numbers of spawn, very few make it completely to adulthood.
We've had frogs in our back garden and we're not anywhere near to any stream or pond or anything like that.
Probably one of your neighbours or someone somewhere has a pond,
right.
you know, and they can travel like 10
Do they get lost?
Away. No, they don't. They spread out for after breeding season to feed.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And they can travel kilometres away from their breeding pond and then migrate back during the breeding season.
What's our biggest native frog?
Our common frog is the biggest native frog. And the females get very, very chunky and rotund, especially after a good feed over the summer. So, yeah, they can get really, really big.
And what are we talking?
Size your hand.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Do you have frogs at home?
I have an army of frogs. I think that's the technical term for them as well. An army of frogs. So yeah.
So they don't keep you awake at night?
They do during the breeding season. It's like a moped convention out there. So it's it's great though. It's my favourite time of year. It really, really. It's after that long drawn out winter.
And you've snakes as well and lizards.
They're in the shed now.
Yeah. Okay.
Just not to worry the neighbours. But they're the exotic creatures.
Yeah.
But
where are they at in their cycle?
They're all waking up now. So everything is kind of like coming into spring.
Coming alive,
exactly, you know. So
yeah.
It's great.
I'm just wondering about people listening, you know, because like all of that stuff that you described is great, wonderful from a distance. But mm-hmm. to think that it's out in your back garden, people don't really want to know that.
There's a kind of a disconnect, I think, with nature. And I think that's something we should address, especially with kids.
How do we address that?
You get them off their phones and you get them out and you get their fingers dirty and you show them a slug, you show them a ladybird, you show the wonder of nature. Kids love it. It's so much better for them than TikTok or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that you'll, establish in them, a wonder of nature. And that will make them care about nature as they grow up as well and can lead to all sorts of adventures and crazy.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes I feel there is a disconnect, as you say. Yet this younger generation are very much aware of the way the planet's going, but they don't have any real connection.
That's the thing.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they're kind of watching it through a phone.
Yes,
you need to get them out there. You need to get them
and make that connection,
in it as well.
And then they can do some real stuff.
And that's why if you have a wild garden with a pond with a little pile of logs and wood, you can bring your kid, your grandkid, your nephew.
Has anybody ever done a show from your house?
A couple of times,
Okay, right out there. There you go. It's not an original idea. Collie Ennis, Zoology Assistant Research Associate in Trinity College Dublin. Thanks so much for coming in.
You're very welcome, Ray.
Thanks, Collie. That's it from us. Drive Time is on the way. We are back tomorrow for our mixtape orchestra show live from Studio One. Join us at 3:00. Good luck.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.